So thankful
like
you're here this morning.
Today,
so thankful that you are in attendance with us, both physically and through live stream. We appreciate you, and we're grateful that you are with us this morning. We're going to continue our discussion of peace. Last week we talked about peace offerings, and here in a moment, I believe we will have our PowerPoint up. And if not, I'm just going to roll right through this. So we'll see what happens here in the next few seconds. There we go. All right, yeah, pretty little red bird there. All right, that's nice. So the text that was read for us, thank you, Larry, for reading that. Appreciate that. The text that was so capably read for us, probably many of us have come across that text before. You've read it, you've heard about it, and it's this bottom part that when you read it, we all have the concept of peace. You talk about peace, the world discusses peace, And the way that we view it is just the absence of conflict or the absence of war. When two countries that are warring against each other have peace amongst themselves, they sign a treaty, and we call it a peace treaty. And we understand that that they're in agreement, that there's not going to be conflict. There's not going to be fighting amongst these two groups. And so we understand the top part. We understand what peace is. And that's easy to grasp, but maybe we don't understand this bottom part, which passes understanding. Another way to say that is it surpasses, it's superior. Another way that it's used is this word can actually mean that God's peace has authority over our understanding. So when you read Philippians 4:7, or you've heard someone quote it, you come across it and you go, man, that is interesting. That's intriguing, right? It's a good sales pitch by God. Hey, do you want this kind of peace? And so you read it and you go, man, that's different. It's unique. It's not something that we find every day. This is something that's different. And God uses this technique to get us interested in what he's really talking about, what he's referring to. So it already strikes a chord with us. It piques our interest. Peace that passes understanding, it's got to be different. And one other thing that makes it so intriguing, so interesting, is in the midst of what our world's going through. Maybe you personally or just our world at large, it's in turmoil, it's in chaos. We have all of these things taking place. We have national powers seeking more power. We have political parties that are seeking more control. We have COVID's newest grandchild, Omicron, just pop up on the scene. We have all of these things taking place, a pandemic, an illness, a division. We have anxiety, pain, suffering. All of us deal with that to some extent. And then on top of that, if that's not enough, we got tornadoes in December. And so when you see peace that passes understanding, hopefully you're like everyone else that reads it, or you have a strong interest in knowing more about it. So a simple question, and it's already been alluded to, do you want that kind of peace? And can you imagine, you go, I want it, but I'm not sure what it actually looks like. I can't envision it. And what it causes us to do is it causes us to change who God is. So with all of these problems that we alluded to and we mentioned, or just a few of the problems, I mean, the list is much longer than that. I mean, I gave you a pretty good list of things that are issues in our world. So what do you think God is doing in the midst of all this? Do you think God's biting his fingernails anxiously going, I knew it would get bad, I just didn't expect it to get this bad? Do you think God is up in heaven going, you know what, I'm looking for answers, I don't know where to go, I don't know where to turn. I didn't anticipate the pandemic to be this bad or reach this extent that it would go global. Do you think he's up there wondering what to do? Do you think he's thinking, you know what? Hey, Gabriel, get Bill Gates on the phone. We need some answers here. Do you think God's lost control? Do You think he's lost control of our circumstances down here? Envision this. God at this very moment is in perfect peace with our situation. God is in perfect peace. He is in complete control. He is the God of peace. So peace is who he is and it's what he does. He is the very source of peace from above. So God's peace is what allows us, his children, to participate in all human drama as peacemakers. Peace that passes understanding. You go, I want to have it. How can I get it? Well, before we jump to all that, let's understand what peace is and what makes it so unique and special, this peace that God describes for us. So, what is peace? You can go ahead and turn your Bibles to John 14, but let me give you a couple working definitions. First, it's our worldly view of it. Again, it's the absence of war, it's the absence of conflict. We view it as a state of tranquility. But the Bible says it's not just the absence of something, it's not just the absence of conflict, it's not just a state of being tranquil. The Bible describes it as completeness, wholeness, and it points to the presence of something, not just the absence of conflict or something bad. It points to the presence of something good. So again, when you think of peace, you think, okay, it's the absence of conflict, it's the absence of fighting. The Bible says, no, it's completeness, it's wholeness. So it's not just the absence of something, it's the filling of that absence of conflict with something good. So now you've put something there that's good. Shalom is the Hebrew word that is used by the Jews. Again, it means wholeness, well-being, harmony in relationships, success and purpose, victory over enemies. And they use this in their everyday greetings, similar to the way that we use our greetings. We say, hey, how are you doing? Shalom is, hey, how is your wholeness? How is your being? Are you doing well today? So that's the Hebrew way to describe what peace is. It's shalom, wholeness. The Greek word is eirene. Eirene is another way that some may pronounce it. It means oneness, peace. It means to join or to tie something into wholeness. It implies unity. Something is now tied together that was separated. It looks like two neighbors who have a good relationship that falls apart. They reconcile, they make peace with one another, and now that relationship is made whole again. It's put back together. They've resolved their conflict, and they've put the relationship back where it once was, a whole good relationship back together. But when you look at John 14, Jesus says something very interesting. John 14, and you have to think about the context, Jesus is on his way to the cross. He's coming down to his last few conversations with his disciples. He's prepping them for his departure. He's going to leave. And then in the midst of all this, when he says, do not let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. He goes on to say that once again. He goes on to say, do not let your heart be troubled. But what is it in the context of? John 14, verse 27. Let's back up to verse 25 of John 14. These things I have spoken to you while present, that's going to be key, present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And then Jesus says something very interesting. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He goes on to remind them, you have heard me say to you, I am going away and coming back to you. If you loved me, you would rejoice, because I said I'm going to the Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it comes, that when it does come to pass, you may believe. I will no longer talk much with you, for the ruler of this world is coming, and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me a commandment, so I do. Arise, let us go from here. And you go, okay, what is Jesus saying here? First of all, he's telling them, the peace that I'm giving to you is going to cause great rejoicing. It's going to give joy in your life. And it's going to produce a stronger faith. You're going to believe more in Jesus. Not only that, when trouble does come, you have complete control. You have the kind of peace that Jesus gives you that isn't rattled, isn't shaken. So when the ruler of this world shows up, you don't lose control. And this all comes out of love, the end of the verse. So it's not like the peace that the world gives. It's something superior. It's something different. It's not just the mere absence of something, but it's something that is present, something good. Now you have to ask, what is that good? And as we begin to develop what the good is, we have to have a starting position. Proper fear. Your minds are probably already wondering, okay, I want the peace that passes understanding. I know it's more than just the absence of conflict. It's the presence of something good. How can fear help us get there? Well, turn your Bibles now to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4. And we've heard these verses before. People are very familiar with this. But we're going to read it anyway, and I want you to ask yourself, what is actually taking place, and how does it relate to the peace that passes understanding? How does it relate to not just the mere absence of conflict, not just the mere state or condition of tranquility, but how does it relate to the presence of something good? Mark 4, verses 35 through 41. On the same day when evening had come, he said to him, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And listen to this, verse 37. And a great windstorm arose. The waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling up with water. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they woke him, and they end up saying to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? God, are you up in heaven not paying any attention to what is happening here on our planet? Do you not care that people are dying, that people are struggling, that individuals are hurting? Do you not care what happened to the people up in Mayfield, Kentucky? Do you not care that's happening to people with the global pandemic? Are you not alert to what's taking place in our lives? We're perishing. Do you not care?" So many people have tried to answer the question, you know, what is really happening here? Does Jesus just not care? How is he asleep? Is he just that exhausted and that tired that he falls asleep on the boat? What is happening here? Should the response have been from Jesus to his disciples, "Come here, guys, let me give you a hug. I do love you. I really do care for you." What is happening here? Well, let's keep reading. Verse 39. Then Jesus arose and rebuked the wind, and he said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" So if the story is just about a great windstorm that's replaced with a great calm leading to the disciples' fear, then why are they afraid now if you read on to verse 41? And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him?" So again, if the story is just about Jesus calming the waters and calming the storm, and that's what produced the fear in them, then I think we would have a poor representation of Mark's account. I think there's something deeper taking place here. Jesus calms the sea, and instead of being filled with relief or joy, they're filled with exceeding fear. Many times in the scriptures, when the disciples or other people in the Old Testament are in the presence of God, then it produces fear in them. They realize their own sinfulness and they fall down before Him. This happened to Isaiah, this happened to Ezekiel, this happened to Daniel, and it happens here to the disciples. They recognize they're in the presence of something different, something with authority, someone who has the power to control the storm. So please hear this. The nearness of God in Jesus produces properly placed fear, which makes faith possible. Faith leads us to trust. And this is what is happening in this moment. Fear was what made faith possible in the disciples. Understanding who they have come near created trust in them. And this is very similar to Exodus chapter 14, verses 30 and 31. And I want you to see this. Exodus 14, verses 30 through 31. And I'll quickly read it for you. So that the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Thus Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt, so that the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. So the kind of peace that we see in Mark chapter 4, Jesus with authority over the storm, is the same kind of peace that holds authority over our understanding. So the disciples see Jesus do something that is beyond understanding. He calms the sea. Israel saw God do something that is beyond our ability to reason, to compute. And what it produced to them is fear that gave them faith. The disciples, when they saw Jesus calm the waters, they saw the source of peace. They saw the one who is the source of peace. The scriptures call Him the Prince of Peace. They saw something good in their presence. So when we talk about what peace is and how it surpasses our reasoning, apart from God, and what makes us so uneasy and gives us the feeling of insecurity and lacking control is when we focus too much on the problems of this world. When our eyes are focused so much on the storms, when they're so focused on all of the issues that are taking place in our world, then that is our understanding that is unguarded and misguided. And it lacks the peace that God gives us. So our understanding is the ability to reason, to think clearly. But when this becomes foggy, it teaches us to worry about the things that are taking place around us. So when our minds are focused and engaged on things of this world, it leads to misunderstanding. And it's susceptible to living a life without the peace that passes understanding. So our surroundings, our television screens, make us unsteady, giving us feelings of insecurity, lacking faith in God, and questioning God and saying, what is God up there doing? Is God not in control of all of our problems? Does He not know what's happening to us? Does He not care that we're perishing here? And it's that kind of understanding that doesn't believe in God that He can do anything with the evil and suffering in our world today. It's the kind of understanding that leads people to apostasy, giving up on God, and surrendering in defeat to the ruler of this world. People search for peace. Sometimes we search for peace within ourselves. People get these health books or they go to health clubs. They practice yoga. They practice meditation. They practice relaxation. You go to spas. You go to the float tanks. You do all these things to try to have some form of tranquility and peace and quietness in your life. Some people search for it outside of themselves. They try to find it in careers, in accomplishments. Sometimes they try to find it in their life of their kids and the kids' achievements. And all of this search for true peace or peace in our life, we come up empty. We come up lacking. You know why? Because peace isn't in us and is not in our world. Peace is from above. Peace is not a state of condition. Peace is a person. The surpassing supernatural peace, trust in Jesus. The surpassing supernatural peace that supersedes our understanding depends on Jesus. The surpassing supernatural peace that supersedes our understanding or transcends the things that we understand in our world puts complete trust and abides in Jesus. You will never discover that kind of great peace in yourself or out in the world. You won't find it on Amazon. It only comes by faith that has a complete, humble trust in God. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Let's go back up to verse 2. Open the gates that the righteous nation which keeps the truth may enter in. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever. For in Yah, the Lord, is everlasting strength, for he brings down those who dwell on high. Perfect peace that passes our world and our understanding is in the Christ, the Prince of Peace. This morning, are you in that kind of peace? If you trust and you depend on Jesus, then you have peace that surpasses understanding. But maybe you're lacking faith. Maybe your faith is wavering. Maybe you're shaken by the current events that are taking place in our world. Stop focusing on those things. Look to the one who can calm the waters. He has the authority. Live in the presence of something good. Live in Jesus. If you're not a Christian, then maybe you don't have peace with God. Become a Christian. Access the peace that has been offered to us through the sacrifice of Jesus by being baptized for the remission of your sins. Maybe you're struggling in other areas and you just need prayers. Let us pray for you. Let us pray with you. Let us help you in any way to have that peace that passes understanding as we stand and we sing.